Okay. Have you ever noticed how some websites ask like way too many questions?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like, do they really need my birthday to, let me download a PDF?
Right. Like, come on. That's what we're getting into today. Data privacy by design.
DPBD.
DPBD.
Yeah.
It's about making privacy, the default, not an afterthought.
It's interesting because this idea has been around for a while, actually, since the 90s. And Kevorkian, she really got the ball rolling back then.
Wow, the 90s. So not some new fad.
Nope, not at all. But think about it. Back then, the internet was just getting started. Now, the amount of data we create, it's just exploded.
Makes you wonder, were they like predicting the future back then or something?
Maybe a little. DPBD is even more relevant now because of that huge data growth.
So instead of slapping privacy on at the end like a band-aid, it's got to be there from the start.
Built right in. And there are seven key principles to make that happen.
Seven. Okay. So first one, proactive, not reactive. This feels especially relevant now with all the data breaches happening.
Ugh, yeah. Unfortunately, there are so many examples. Like that one social media company, they collected tons of data but didn't really protect it.
So what happened?
Huge data breach. Millions of users, their info was just out there. People were furious.
Oof, I bet.
They got hit with fines, lawsuits, the whole nine yards.
All because they didn't think about privacy up front.
Exactly. DPDD could have prevented that whole mess.
Okay, so next principle, privacy as the default setting. How is this different from what most companies do now?
Right now, it's often opt out. They take your data unless you specifically say NO. DPBD flips that. You have to opt in to sharing.
So it's like you're in control from the start.
Exactly.
Wouldn't companies resist that, though? They love our
It's like
data.
some might. But DPBD isn't about less functionality. It's about finding clever ways to do things while respecting privacy.
So it's not a trade-off. It's more like a challenge.
Exactly, a design challenge.
Okay, makes sense. Third principle, embedded, not bolted on.
Love this one.
It's like when you build a house, you don't add the foundation later, right?
Exactly. You start with it. Same with privacy. If you're developing tech, you have to bring in privacy experts right at the beginning.
Not just when things go wrong.
No way! They need to be part of the whole process from day one.
So it's not just having the right rules. It's about a whole culture of privacy.
100%.
Okay, so fourth principle, full functionality. Doesn't more privacy mean like less we can do with the data?
That's what people think, but it's not true. Take anonymization, for example.
Anonymization, huh?
You can use data for research without knowing who it belongs to.
Ah, so you get the insights without compromising anyone's identity.
Exactly, so win-win.
Okay, principle number five, end-to-end security. So imagine data is going on a trip.
Oh, I like this.
What are the security checkpoints along the way, according to DPBD?
Okay, so first, you got to collect that data responsibly, proper consent, all that.
Like passport control.
Right. Then secure storage, encryption, safeguards. Think of it like a super safe hotel room for your data.
Oh, nice. What's next?
Secure processing, making sure the data is only used for what it was meant for with very limited access.
Like only authorized personnel can go backstage at a concert.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And lastly, when the trip's over, secure deletion. Got to get rid of that data properly when it's not needed anymore.
So it's like no souvenirs left behind that could compromise privacy.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm liking these analogies. Principle number six, visibility and transparency. So no more hiding stuff in the fine print, right?
Nope. DPBD says, be clear, be upfront about how you're using data.
People should actually be able to understand those privacy policies.
Exactly. No more jargon. And you know what? This benefits companies too.
Brilliant. How so?
Transparency builds trust. Customers who care about privacy, they'll be drawn to companies that are open about what they're doing.
Ah, so it becomes a competitive advantage. Smart. And finally, principle number seven, user centricity. This one brings us back to that feeling of, wait, why are they asking me all this?
Right. User centricity means giving people real choices about their data and tools to manage their privacy settings easily.
So it's like putting the user back in the driver's seat.
Exactly. They have the control, not the companies.
I like that. So DPD isn't just about rules and regulations. It's about changing the way we think about data.
100%. It's about building a more ethical, sustainable approach to data in this, digital age we're living in.
And that's a good thing for everyone.
Right. It's a win for users. It's a win for companies. It's a win for the future of the internet, really. This whole mindset shift, it really makes you rethink how we see data in the first place.
What do you mean by rethinking how we see data?
Well, for so long, it's been all about just getting more data as much as possible.
Like hoarding it.
Yeah, kind of. But DPBD makes you stop and ask, like, hold on, why are we even collecting this? Do we really need it?
So being more intentional about what we gather and why.
Exactly. It's not just some resource to be exploited. It's something to handle carefully, with respect. And this applies to any organization, by the way.
Not just those big tech companies.
Nope, not at all. Small businesses, healthcare, anyone dealing with people's personal info.
Okay, so it's a bigger idea than just, like, rules for tech giants.
Way bigger. Data responsibility is everyone's responsibility.
Got it. So let's say I'm a business owner. I'm on board with all this. I want to do DPBD right. Where do I even start?
That's where that privacy by design checklist comes in. It's like a roadmap for actually putting these principles into practice.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. It's pretty detailed.
It is, yeah. One of the first things it talks about is doing a PIA.
A PIA?
Privacy Impact Assessment. Basically, you got to look at any new project and think, okay, how could this affect people's privacy?
So before you even start collecting data, you're thinking about the potential downsides.
Exactly. Anticipating problems, not just reacting to them. It's like, if you're building a bridge, you don't wait for it to collapse before you reinforce it.
That's a good point. What else is on this checklist?
Another big one is you got to make privacy a part of the whole development process.
So from the very first idea all the way to launch.
Yep. Privacy experts, they need to be involved at every stage. It's not just like adding sprinkles on top at the end.
It's got to be baked in.
Exactly. Like when you're designing a car, you don't just like tack on the seatbelts as an afterthought, right? Safety is part of the whole design from the start.
Right. It has to be part of the blueprint. This does sound like a lot of work, but I guess it pays off in the long run.
Oh, definitely. Prevents data breaches, protects your reputation, builds trust with customers.
It's not just about avoiding fines then. It's good for business overall.
Exactly. And another thing the checklist talks about is training. Your whole team needs to understand this stuff.
Makes sense. You can have the best tech in the world, but if people don't know how to use it.
Right. Everyone needs to be on the same page when it comes to privacy. And speaking of tech, the checklist also recommends using PTs.
PTs. Like the furry kind.
Uh-huh. Not quite. Privacy-enhancing technologies. Things like data masking, encryption, anonymization.
We talked about data masking earlier. What about the others?
Okay, so encryption is all about, like, scrambling your data.
So no one can read it unless they have the key.
Exactly. Protects data when it's being sent over the internet, when it's stored. Super important. And then there's anonymization.
Anonymization. Remind me what that is again.
Basically, you remove any info that could identify someone.
So you can still use the data, but you don't know who it belongs to.
Exactly. Good for research, sharing data with third parties. You get the insights without compromising anyone's privacy.
Okay, I'm getting it. So we've got our impact assessment. Privacy is part of the development process. We're training our team using these privacy-enhancing tools.
Mm.
Anything else?
The checklist also talks a lot about building a culture of privacy within the organization.
So it's not just about rules. It's about how people think and act.
Yeah. Making privacy everyone's responsibility. Leaders need to be on board. Everyone needs to be talking about it. You know, rewarding people who do it well.
Like a whole mindset shift, not just ticking boxes.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things I hear a lot is, won't all this privacy stuff stifle innovation, make it harder to do cool new things?
I can see why people would think that. Like, more rules mean less creativity.
Right. But honestly, I think DPBD can actually boost innovation.
Really?
How? Well, when you have to think about privacy, you're forced to be more creative, more user-focused, find new solutions.
So it's like constraints can actually spark creativity.
Exactly. And in the end, the solutions that respect privacy are going to be the ones that people want.
Makes sense. It's like the market will reward the companies that do it right.
That's the idea. And remember, DPBD, it's not just about like avoiding punishment. It's about building a better future, a future where we can use data for good without sacrificing privacy.
It's about finding that balance, right? The power of data, but also protecting people's rights.
Absolutely. And as we move into this age of AI, artificial intelligence, DPBD is going to be even more important.
AI, yeah, that's a whole other level.
It is. AI has so much potential, but it also has huge privacy risks. We're giving these systems so much data, the building blocks of our digital lives.
It's kind of scary when you think about it that way.
It is. That's why we need DPBD to make sure that AI is developed responsibly, ethically.
So it's not just about the data itself. It's about how these AI systems you ease the data.
Exactly. And one of the challenges there is something called algorithmic transparency.
Okay, break that down for me. Algorithmic transparency. What is that?
Basically, it means understanding how AI makes decisions. Because as these systems get more complex, it can be hard to tell WHY they're doing what they're doing.
So it's like a black box. You don't know what's going on inside.
Right. And that's a problem, especially if those decisions are like affecting people's lives. We need to be able to see into that black box.
So we can trust that AI is being used fairly responsibly.
Exactly. And that's where DPBD comes in. It says, hey, AI needs to be explainable, not just accurate. We need to be able to trace back how it made a decision.
So it's about designing AI systems that are transparent, that we can understand.
Yep. And, you know, there are some really cool new technologies emerging that can help with this. One of them is called federated learning.
Federated learning. Okay, this is new to me. Tell me more.
So imagine you have a bunch of smartphones, each with its own data. Instead of sending all that data to one central place, federated learning lets the AI learn from each phone separately.
So the processing happens on my phone, not in some giant data center somewhere.
Exactly. Only the insights, the learnings are shared. The actual data stays put.
Wow, that's amazing. So companies can still benefit from AI, but without actually collecting all our personal data.
Right. And this is just one example. DPBD is pushing the boundaries of what's possible with AI, showing us we can have innovation and privacy.
So it's like having your cake and eating it too.
Exactly. And this is just the beginning. As AI keeps evolving, DPBD is going to be crucial to make sure it's used for good, not for harmful or exploitative purposes.
So it's not about being anti-AI. It's about making sure it's done right.
100%. And remember, DPBD, it's not just about rules. It's a philosophy, a way of thinking that puts people and their privacy first.
It's about designing a digital world where we can all feel safe, feel respected.
Exactly. And that's a future worth fighting for.
Couldn't agree more. So we've talked a lot about data privacy. But there's another piece of the puzzle here, right? Data security.
Oh, yes. Data security. That's like the shield that protects your data from the bad guys, you know, unauthorized access, all that. It's a key part of DPBD, but it deserves its own deep dive.
Right, so data security. What are the essentials here? What do companies need to be thinking about?
Well, first things first, you got to have a strong foundation. Think like access controls, making sure only the right people can see certain data.
So like digital locks and keys.
Exactly. And then multi-factor authentication. You know, like when you log in and they send a code to your phone?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's not just your password. It's like an extra layer of security.
Right. And regular security audits. Basically, checking up on everything, making sure those systems are still working properly.
So like making sure no one's picked the lock on that digital vault.
Exactly. It's like building a fortress around your data. But, you know, it can feel like a bit of a never-ending battle sometimes.
How so?
Well, the bad guys are always trying to find new ways in. As soon as you fix one vulnerability, they're looking for another.
Ah, so you got to be constantly on guard, adapting to new threats.
Exactly. And it's not just about protecting against those outside attackers either.
Oh, right. What about threats from, like, inside the company?
Yeah, insider risks. Those can be tough. You got disgruntled employees, or sometimes it's just, you know, someone accidentally clicks on a phishing link.
Oof, that's happened to the best of us. So how do you prevent that?
Well, DLP solutions are really important here.
DLP, what's that stand for?
Data loss prevention. These tools can basically, like, keep an eye on all the data moving around within your company.
So, like, making sure no one's sending sensitive info where it shouldn't go.
Exactly. Think of it like a security guard for your data. And then, of course, we got to talk about encryption again.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier.
Super important. Encrypting data, both when it's stored and when it's being sent somewhere, makes it unreadable to anyone who's not supposed to see it.
So even if someone breaks into your digital vault, they can't actually make sense of what they find.
Right. But even with all these safeguards, there's always the chance that, you know, something could happen.
Oh, gosh. A data breach.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's so important to have an incident response plan. So if the worst does happen, you're not just, like, scrambling around trying to figure out what to do.
Exactly. You need a clear plan for how to contain the breach, investigate what happened, and recover your systems.
And probably a lot of communication, right? Letting people know what happened.
100%. Transparency is key. Trying to hide a breach just makes things worse.
So be honest. Be upfront. Okay, so technology is obviously super important here. But what about the human element? What role do employees play in all this?
Oh, employees are crucial. You got to have good security awareness training, teach people about phishing scams, malware, all that stuff.
So they can spot those red flags, those suspicious emails.
Exactly. And also, you know, basic best practices for handling sensitive information.
So it's about making everyone part of the security team in a way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's a shared responsibility. Everyone's got to be on board.
So it's not just the IT department's problem.
Nope. Not at all. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions out there. You know, people think, oh, data security, that's for the tech folks to worry about. But in reality, it's everyone's business.
Like if one person messes up, it can affect the whole company.
Exactly. It's like a chain, right? One weak link can break the whole thing.
Okay, so we've talked about strong foundations, DLP, encryption, incident response plans, training. Anything else we should keep in mind?
One last thing. Data security, it's not a one-and-done kind of thing. It's an ongoing process.
Because technology keeps changing,
mm-hmm.
and the bad guys keep finding new tricks.
Exactly. It's a constant evolution. You got to stay informed, keep learning, and be ready to adapt.
So never stop learning. Good advice for life in general, I guess.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. DPBD, data security. It's a lot to take in. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
You know, in this digital age, data is power, but it's also a responsibility. We have to treat it with respect, protect it, make sure it's used ethically.
Because at the end of the day, it's about people.
Exactly. Data privacy, data security. These aren't just technical issues. They're about human rights, about building a world where we can all feel safe and empowered.
Well said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Don't forget to check out that Solix ebook we mentioned, all about sensitive data discovery and security tools. Links in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely check it out. And keep those brains buzzing, folks.
Until next time.